Good evening. Just to greet each one of you tonight in the name of Jesus, the burden bearer that we were just hearing about. It's good to be here tonight with you. Announcements this evening. Prayer meeting this week. Also, Brother Jason put in the rack at the back programs for the fellowship meetings that are coming up in a week or two. 2 weeks from now, I guess. So if you want one of those, help yourself. Anything else? That's all I have for announcements tonight. If not, go into what I have to share here this evening. This morning, Brother Laverne was preaching from Jeremiah 35, that story, bringing out things from that story of these Rechabites and pointing out the father's legacy, the ability of a man to correctly communicate to his children some values or a way of life that went on for centuries. And while that may have, I'm sure that was interesting to you, it was probably even a little more so to me because I have a title here, and I didn't change it since this morning. A title that may be a little bit, it may take you back just a little bit. Two words. The words, and it kind of is a question: steadfast or bullheaded. And that kind of comes, and so you can see if my mind was thinking down those lines, how that story of the Rechabites was very interesting to me, and the things that they were doing. Now there are some definite differences between then and now, or the answer to why are you here. And I guess that's kind of where I would go with this. Why are you here? Why are you here in this church? Is it because you're steadfast, or is it because you're simply bullheaded? When you think about man and the spiritual side of man and the decisions we each make, we all make decisions as to what we're going to believe, and there's a large spectrum of beliefs out there. You think about the world. I mean, I'm going out beyond this church. I mean, you think about the world and the belief systems that are out there. You have all the way from the Hindu, Muslim, tribal, mainstream Christian to Barton Creek Belize. Very conservative, live in the sticks type of religions. What's holding those people there in any one of those? And you get a little bit closer home, you say, okay, out of that big spectrum from Hindu to wherever, Anabaptist. That's the segment that I choose to be in. Okay, fine. Even Anabaptist has a fairly broad range, from the General Conference churches under the Anabaptist term, you would have the German Baptists and the Holdermans and the conservative Mennonites and the Amish and the Beachy and the Western Fellowship somewhere in there. But then even getting a little more specific, you are here. You are here tonight at Halsey Mennonite. And so I'll loop back around to that same question. Hopefully you're here because you are embracing truth. Truth, principle, doctrine, that type of thing. But also, with that, you embrace a particular application of. In other words, these principles, these truths, these principles, teachings that we find in the Bible finally do need to be applied in a practical way. And since you're here, if you're here, since I'm here, I have chosen to accept or apply biblical truth in this manner. And so now, is that steadfast or is that bullheaded? And even a little more interesting question is, who should be allowed to make the determination for me? Is it all right if I just decide, no, I'm not being bullheaded, I'm steadfast? That's where we'd all like to be. So let's identify those two terms just a little bit. Steadfast, dictionary definition, and these are the first two definitions in an intermediate Webster dictionary. Firmly fixed in place and steadfast. But the second definition was firm in belief, determination, or adherence. So bundled into the word steadfast is this thing of beliefs. Not moving from a belief. Now, what's bullheaded? I flipped my dictionary open, wondering if I'd even find that word there. It's a word that means something to me, but flip through the dictionary and Webster, yeah. Bullheaded is there. What does it mean? Stubborn. Well, that's not very descriptive, so I flip over and look at the definition of stubborn. Having a firm idea or purpose, hard to convince or persuade, done or continued in an obstinate manner, or difficult to handle. And while those are all accurate definitions of stubborn, I guess I went back and used the word bullheaded because to me it actually carries a little bit different definition than stubborn. When I think of stubborn, I think of a horse or a mule that has decided that it's not going. I don't know if you've ever seen that. Six people trying to get a horse into a trailer and it's got its legs parked, not moving. A mule can even be worse. And that's a problem. And that's a real thing. But bullheaded, in my younger days in Eastern Oregon, I had the opportunity, responsibility, to work with these animals. Black Angus bulls. And if you've been around a bull, you may understand a little bit what I'm talking about. But a bull has, while they can be stubborn, a Black Angus bull, on the other hand, can be very persistent and pushy and quiet, and he goes right on doing what he was going to do, irregardless of these humans that are flapping around him. I've seen that. Actually, I hauled cattle some, and probably the most, when I was the most afraid, was one time when I was in my trailer trying to unload a load of bulls. Now, a load of bulls, I mean, you put 40 1,200 pound cows in a trailer, but you're only going to get about 20 of these bulls in the trailer. They're big. Now, they weren't mean. They didn't have any animosity toward me, but they were so busy pushing on each other, I would have got squished. I mean, the 200-pound something between a 2,000-pound bull and a trailer wall is not a pretty picture. So the picture I'm trying to paint for you is bullheadedness has more the idea of going on and doing it because I want to do that. decide where to jump here. What does the scripture say about being steadfast? And I'll admit, the scripture doesn't use the term bullheaded very much. 1 Corinthians 15:58. I've got some of these verses down. I think I'll just read them. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Steadfast and unmovable. positive. Positive characteristics, things that we are to be in the work of the Lord. Galatians 5:1, another one. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Steadfast. Stand fast. Don't return. Don't return to a law-based Christianity, is what Paul was writing and saying there. 2 Thessalonians 2:15 says this, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. There was a desire. I was going to turn to some of these. Read a little bit more of the context there. There was pressure to those Corinthians to do some changing, to not call sin sin. And the exhortation there was, hold the traditions or the doctrines, the teachings that ye have been taught by word or by what we wrote to you, the epistle. Book of Hebrews. I think I'm going to turn to that one. Hebrews 10:23. Exhortation there as well. It's talking about verse 10. Actually, Hebrews 10:19 says this, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. And we have a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near. Let us not draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Verse 23 then, let us hold fast. Hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? Because he is faithful, the promised. Hebrews 13:9, rather blunt teaching here. Now, Hebrews 13 is the end of that book. There's a whole bunch of short little sentences. You know, the brotherly love continue. Don't be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Get on down to verse 9. That's the first two verses. Verse 9, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Don't be carried away, but rather be established. Most of these that I've just read and looked at have to do with holding fast to doctrine or to the teachings received. One of them there is the professing of faith. And so you say, well, yeah, that's me. I've been doing that. That's what I intend to do. I'm going to keep doing that. Are you sure you're right? Who do you trust? How do you make that determination? What does the Scripture say about trusting in yourself? And I've got another list of, got about four more references here that I'd like to read that kind of point out the fact that often men don't see themselves very accurately. Or Proverbs 3:3-7. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. As he was writing to my son. That's verse 1. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So that's in the context of maintaining mercy and truth. Keep mercy and truth around. Trust in the Lord. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know, while those are Old Testament verses, Old Testament words, if you keep mercy and truth, if you are embracing mercy and truth and trusting in the Lord, people will take advantage of you. Right in that context, he's saying, lead not unto thine own understanding. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Romans 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't be wise in your own conceits. Proverbs 14. There is a way that which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So as you look at yourself and your choices, your decisions to be at a particular place spiritually, is it man's wisdom? The reality is that man's wisdom or man's way is often a dangerous way. At times it can be a completely wrong way. And being steadfast, just holding on tight, doesn't guarantee accuracy. There are steadfast Muslims. There are steadfast Jews. I got two questions down here just to make you think. I don't have answers written down here for them. But is it so? We know that we want to be steadfast. We want to be steadfast in the maintenance, maintaining, and holding on to faith, the principles taught in the Bible, the Christian faith. Is it ever right for a Christian to be bullheaded? Or, the other way to ask that, is it ever wrong for a Christian to be steadfast? Kind of two different questions. Well, I believe that it is that there are times. There are times when a Christian can be somewhat bullheaded in his preferences. He wants to. I would like to see things like this. Bullheaded to a point. Just think about these statements. I've written a few of these down. We want to be a part of a church that works together. We want to be part of a church where ideas, where we can come to a common understanding. The bullheaded, the one who just insists on going his own way, doesn't fit very well into that picture. So just imagine hearing these statements, you know, I want to be a part of a church that, you know, and you can fill in the blanks. I mean, you could end this question almost any way. I want to be a part of a church that allows internet access, or I will not be a part of a church that allows internet access. You see, neither of those two positions are necessarily wrong or sinful in themselves. I want to be a part of a church that allows Facebook access. I don't want to be a part of a church that allows Facebook access. Steadfast, bullheaded. See, I'm drawing a little bit of a line there between matters of faith and matters of application. The fact of the matter is this, that in the sad fact is this, that there are times, there are probably many times, too many times in our conservative Mennonite circles, that for some reason or another, these type of issues come up, they get discussed, and actually this happens on a myriad of issues. Differences arise, heads butt, and people, relationships suffer, and people go their separate ways. I'm going over there, you're going over there. The interesting thing about that, when you watch those things happen, the interesting thing is the people almost always say, You know, I had to go over here. I was simply being steadfast. Therefore, the relationship issue had to have been his bullheadedness. Sad, the goofy thing is, he's saying the same thing. I was just being steadfast, and he was the knothead. First Peter 5, verse 5 says this, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble." Another New Testament verse, principle, "Be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." So, can I as a Christian be bullheaded? Can I insist on having things my way? In summary, or in conclusion, I would say that when facing false doctrine, when facing false teaching, when facing error, refuse to entertain it. Refuse to even, just go ahead. Stomp on over that. When confronting those who insist that Christ's teachings are negotiable, and you don't have to go very far into Christendom, you don't have to go very far away to find someone who says that, I know it says that on the Sermon on the Mount, but we're just not going to do that here. We'll leave that for some other era, some other time. False doctrine, plain and simple. Be steadfast there. But within the church, within the context of the local congregation, working on the practical things of life, I think we need to be careful that our bullheadedness not show up. Remember those principles, in honor, preferring one another. Principle of submission. And the burden bearing, we heard of the law of Christ. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 to 11. I'm going to read those verses and close here. 1 Peter 5, 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Plain teaching there as well. Resist the devil while being steadfast in the faith. That's all I have for this evening. Why don't we stand together for dismissal prayer?